You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 247, and today I am going to address a question that came up this last week that I think is a very good question and well worth, you know, serious consideration. I was asked by somebody, is it sinful or are we in sin as Christians if we are not a professional or vocational missionary? And I think that's a great question. And the reason the person was asking the question is they were, of course, reading Jesus' final words in Matthew chapter 28. Beginning in verse 18, Jesus says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" And so the question then is a legitimate one to say, does that mean that all Christians are called to be a missionary? And are Christians in sin if they are not a missionary? And I think the answer to this question really comes down to, how do you define the term missionary? Because we do believe, obviously, there in Matthew 28, we recognize that Jesus gives us a direct command. This is not an encouragement. This is not something that you get to choose. You know, it's not an option. Oh, should I do this? Or could I do this? Or could I do something else? Or, hey, you should do this. You know, it'd be a good idea. No, it's a direct command from the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is something that all believers are required by the Lord to do. It is not optional. It is not something that we get to just say, yeah, it's not for me. I don't really like it. Or I'm not really comfortable with it. Or people don't really want to hear the gospel and they get angry. So I just don't choose to participate. And I do think, if we're honest with ourselves, that we all have not done a great job of evangelism. I mean, no matter how much we are doing in our day-to-day lives, we can always be doing more. And to a degree, we probably should be doing more. And I know that's true in my life as well. And I'll be honest with you in saying that, well, I do share the gospel a lot and do have gospel opportunities a lot, I also miss opportunities a lot. In fact, just recently, I was on a trip and had a great gospel opportunity and just really muffed it up and was feeling pretty sad about that. I texted Jason, was like, man, I had this great opportunity just totally queued up from the Lord, and I just kind of muffed it up. And the good news, obviously, is that we don't save people. And salvation is not something that we can bring about, and it's not something that we affect. It is 100% the work of the Lord in someone, drawing them to himself. You see an example of that, obviously, in John chapter 16, where it says that the Holy Spirit has gone out to draw the world, right, convicting them of their sins and pointing them towards the truth of God. And so it's 100% God's work, right? God is the one who brought about the ability for us to be saved. God is the one who accomplished the work of salvation through Jesus' work on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, providing a way for us to be restored and reconciled to the Father. And then it is the Lord who continues to draw people to himself. And so God is 100% the one by which we are able to be saved, through whom we are able to be saved, and through whom we are able to be drawn to go from death unto light, to go from spiritual death that we see in Ephesians, to the light of Christ to salvation, to being renewed, to being redeemed, to being sanctified and purified in Christ Jesus and able to be a child of God. And so that's the good news. The good news is it is not dependent on us. That's the good news. And actually, that does free us up more to engage for a good gospel purpose, because we don't have that stress of, if I mess this up in some way, and then this person will never be saved. And it, that's just not true. It's the work of the Lord exclusively. And God will affect his will. The Holy Spirit will draw and call people to himself in spite of us. And yet, at the same time, we get to be a part of that. So we're a part of that in prayer, obviously. We're a part of that in our words, and we're a part of that in our actions. All of those things are fundamental to the gospel. So, but I want to start with, is it a calling to be a missionary? Is that a calling? We're talking not just living missionally, but being an actual missionary. And I would argue that it is. It is a direct call of the Lord that some people have this gift or gifting from the Lord to be a missionary. And so the reason I say that is because we look at these, you know, lists with spiritual giftings that God gives, what we find is that the gifting of evangelism is one of these spiritual gifts, meaning some people have this spiritual gift from the Lord that they are able to more effectively engage and evangelize than other people, that it is an actual spiritual gifting, that it is actual a calling, a charge before the Lord that is good and beautiful and necessary for the building up of Christ's church, right? For the edification of the body, for the making of disciples, for the glory of God to be made known and be made famous in and through us in the world. And so an example of that is like Ephesians chapter 4, where we see, you know, one of these lists of spiritual giftings. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to be, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to build up the body of Christ. And so you definitely have these that God has specially gifted and specially called for that good purpose, and that's wonderful. It's not to say that if you have a different gift, then you're not as valuable or necessary for the work that God is busy doing in his church. That's not what we mean at all, but it is that that some have this specific call or this specific role, this specific charge before the Lord, and should and need to exercise that for the glory of God. And so I do believe that there is a special charge that some have to be vocational missionaries where God has called them, you know, to go. Maybe it's to a different part of the world, or maybe it's just vocationally to serve as a missionary in this part of the world, right? The gospel needs to go everywhere. And so that is their focus, and that is their gifting, and that is their charge before the Lord. And that's a beautiful thing. And I think worthy of great respect, because, you know, that is something that God has called them to do, and charged them to do. And they need to do for the glory of God and for his kingdom, right? So, and you see that in many of these examples of spiritual gifts that God gives. And it's beautiful. It is necessary for the good of the church, for the building up of the body, for the growth of God's people and for the making of disciples. And so there is an actual gifting that God gives some. There is a specific call that goes beyond just that if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, share the gospel. There is this other specific calling of the Lord that some people have to go in whatever context the Lord called them to and share the gospel. And we're not going to downplay that at all. In fact, we want to value that as well. And I think we still have a role to play even in those situations. You know, maybe we're not the one called to missions in that sense and in that way, but we are still called to pray for them, right? We are still called to support them with whatever means we can. Maybe it's financially, or maybe it's going and supporting them in a short-term mission sense. And then, of course, you know, praying for them all the way along, that, you know, God protects them, that God allows and opens doors for the gospel in whatever area, and that God prepares the hearts of people to accept Christ. And then, you know, a lot of times when you're on a prayer email list with a missionary, they will often talk about people that they're sharing the gospel with or specific prayer needs that they have. And we get to be a part of that by lifting them up to the Lord as well. So that's one aspect. Now, that doesn't mean that we do not, as believers, have or are freed from the burden of that charge in Matthew chapter 28, that we are to live missionally and we are to serve the Lord in whatever context, whatever mission field that the Lord has put us in, meaning the place we work, the community we live in, the, you know, people we interact with on a day-to-day basis, so many of whom will not be believers, and so many of whom will need the gospel, and so many of whom will need to have an encounter with the Lord and be drawn into his glory and be changed and renewed and redeemed. And so that's an important call as well. And what does that look like? Well, it's not a missionary in the sense of, okay, I've been called by the Lord, I've been gifted as an evangelist, and I leave, you know, whatever my context is, and I focus exclusively on the gospel. But it is living as a believer in this world, And, you know, Jesus has made it very clear that he does not take us out of this world, right? Because the world needs to hear about the gospel. The world needs to see the glory of God through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the reality of Jesus' work, through the redemptive action and activity that goes on in us, right? We have to look different than the world. And we see this charge so many times all throughout Scripture, that we are called to live differently, that we are called to live in a way that is an example to the people around us and to the body of Christ, you know, more generally, that we are to be those kind of people. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 5, the author instructs elders of a church. He says, "Therefore, I exhort you as an elder among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ Jesus and a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be an example for the flock." So you have this encouragement, right? You are to live differently and behave differently and act differently and to be an example of those around you. You see the same kind of thing in 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul's instructing his protege to be an example as well. He says in verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech and conduct, in love and purity, show yourself an example for those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture and exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gifts within you, and so on and so forth. Again, you see that same theme, right? That the charge is to be an example, even in the leadership text, like 1 Timothy chapter 3, where we're shown what the character of an elder, what the character of a deacon is supposed to be like. It says, beginning in verse 1, it says, "It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of an overseer or elder, it is a fine work that he desires to do. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife or a one-woman man, temperate, prudent, responsible, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. You must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. If a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not be conceited and fall into temptation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach." And so on and so forth. And we're told, okay, this is all about leadership, or we're thinking of it all about leadership. But then Paul kind of ends the chapter. He says in verse 14, "I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in the case that I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. By a common confession, great is the mystery of godliness." And then goes on to present another picture of God's glory. So this is very specifically not just about leadership. It's not about who's actually in charge of the church. It's about living as a believer in Jesus very differently than the world. You know, somebody who walks in good character and integrity, and one who is an example even to the outside world, right? Even to those people that maybe hate their guts. This is, I think, the best example of this is in the book of Daniel. Daniel, who is living in Babylon, he's been, you know, taken into captivity, into exile. He's been living there, and they've dealt with, you know, all these different challenges there and stuff in living for the Lord and keeping the covenant of God and walking in the way that God would call them to engage. And he runs into a lot of issues. And in Daniel chapter 6, where we find him, is he's actually in a position where there's all these other officials in the government of the king in this exile that they hate Daniel. And they want to get rid of Daniel. And they're looking for any sign of issues or any issues, and they find none. And so they end up creating just making up a law, getting the king to agree to a made up law so that they could get him on his own personal faith. It says in verse 4, "Then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find grounds of accusation against Daniel in regards to the government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or even evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. And so they end up creating this law, right? But what a testimony to the character of a person that even the people that hated his guts, even the people that wanted absolutely to get rid of him, even those guys, you know, tore into his character. They tore into his reputation. They tore into his work and his leadership and his service to the government. They looked for any corruption or any issue, and they ended up coming up totally blank. And boy, what a testimony to the character of the man before the Lord. And you don't think that draws people to God? When we live in a way that is radically different than the world, and they see that we seek to live and walk in integrity and character, and we don't cut corners, and we don't, you know, we don't choose to be lazy, and we don't choose to have bad character, and we don't live with the ends justify the means attitude, and we don't, you know, try and cut people down, and we don't, you know, on and on it goes. And people look at that and they're like, man, what is going on over there? Why are these people different? Right? Why are they not behaving like the world? And in some cases, it's even, you know, they're being mistreated, and yet they respond in a godly way. Or they're being falsely accused of things, and yet they still respond in a godly way. Right? People are out to get them on purpose and make their life difficult for them, and yet they still respond in a godly way. And it's like, man, I gotta know something about this God, right? And so how we live and how we behave is very much a part of this missional call, that our behavior is a big deal and our character is a big deal and the way we live and walk is a big deal. And you see this all over Scripture. We're called and charged to walk in a godly way. I mean, so often we see this. Another example is Titus chapter 2. He says at the beginning of Titus chapter 2, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, I urge you young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us." And then he goes on, "I urge bondservants to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteous, and godly in the present age, looking forward to the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous to do good things. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you." And so you see, you know, our behavior, our attitudes are a big part of our witness in our culture and in our day and age. And so that is a huge piece of this, you know, living missionally minded in the service of our great God. But then, of course, that's not all. obviously. It's not all just about living in a godly and charactered way. We also have the other side, which is we are still called to share the gospel, right? We are still called to speak the truth. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that you have, yet with gentleness and reverence. We are to obviously engage. We are to always be ready to share the gospel. We are to always ready to give an answer, right, for the hope that is within us. This is actional. We can't just live for Christ in our actions, but we also have to be ready to share the gospel to anyone who asks, to offer that truth and the hope that's within us to anyone that comes along looking for the truth. And at the same time, we also got to be ready to pursue gospel opportunities, right? We look for those opportunities to go into all the world, into all the places in our culture, in all the different areas of our culture, and to share the gospel and make disciples, right? It is the word of God that saves. It is the power of God that draws people into salvation. And so there's the actional side of that as well. And so that's the way I think of it in terms of answering this question. You know, are Christians, do we all have to be missionaries? And it's like, well, again, it depends on how you define missionary. If you mean, do we all have to be vocational missionaries? I don't think that's true. I think God gifts us all with different gifts for different purposes, and even intends for some of us to be out in the working world sharing the gospel with people through our lives, through our actions, through our attitudes, and through our words. And if we're all vocational missionaries and we're off doing that, who shares the gospel in our workplace, right? Who shares the gospel in our neighborhood? Who shares the gospel in our local coffee shop to the people they encounter there? And so there is this degree to which, you know, some people have to be still in the world so that the gospel goes forth. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, I do believe that God calls some to be missionaries vocationally as their sole focus, and that is something that should be honored. Yes, absolutely. Hugely honored in the life of the church, and we should seek, you know, any opportunity to be a part of that, to partner with them in their gospel service, in prayer, you know, with financial means, like I said, in all those different ways. But then there is the degree to which we all, as believers in Jesus, are called to live missionally and live missionally minded. And that part of that is our actions and our attitudes and our character. Part of that is our words, because we can't just assume good character is enough. Our words have to be a part of that as well. Sharing the gospel, taking those opportunities, right? Ready to give an answer for the hope that's within me when that comes up. And then, of course, pursuing it as well, going into all of the areas and doing what Jesus said, right? Making disciples and baptizing them and doing all of that for the glory of God, for the advancement of God's kingdom, for this incredible gospel to go forth. God has done amazing work in us and continues to do amazing work in us, and not just save us from our sins, but to continue to sanctify us, to redeem us, to draw us back to the good design that God has, and the good purity of character that God has, and the holiness of God's own character, drawing us more and more back to that place, that picture, that design for the glory of God. And so whether God has called you to be a vocational missionary, or even if he has not, we still have a specific role and charge from the Lord to always be sharing the gospel. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.